You're going to hear things about him. You're going to see he is a leader, not only in the church and the kingdom, but in our culture. God is going to use you in a great way to have a voice. Man, I feel the Lord when I'm speaking that, maybe more than I even know about. God's going to give you a great voice to help shape this next generation. Dan Huntington is a mighty, mighty man of God. I want you, come on tonight. He's one of our own here. I want you to give him the biggest Thursday night City Church welcome you could do. Come on, give it up for Dan Huntington.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing? Can you hear me okay? All right, I'm going to just read a quick Bible verse and then we'll get started. I'm going to pray after. 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil, your lips from telling lies, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Let's just pray really quick. Dear Lord, I humble myself here, God, and we pray tonight that your words will be spoken and not mine, that your glory will be brought and not mine, God. We pray, Lord, that you will interrupt my message to bring your word and that lives will be touched and lives will be changed, including my own. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the blessings that you've been to us already, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, tonight, I want to talk about a topic called servant leadership is the Christian term, right? But really what it is it's putting yourself last. So, Polly, can you go back to the first slide? So, putting yourself last, what does that mean? Why is that so, I don't know, weird, right? Because if we read books, right, if we think about today's culture, it's all about self-promotion, right? What's your brand? What's your personal brand? Who are you? Promote yourself because no one else is going to do it for you, right? But servant leadership is the opposite of that, and it's the complete opposite of what our culture tells us to do. A survey was taken a while ago. They asked young people, what's your favorite, you know, verse in the Bible? And they said, well, our favorite verse is, God helps those who help themselves. It's like, wait, it's not in the Bible because God is the opposite. God helps those who help others. God blesses those who bless others. So this is what I want to talk about today. Now, I just took a training course, and they taught me in my training course that whenever you talk on a topic, you always have to talk about your own credibility on that subject before you get into it. So let me talk about my own credibility about this. I come from good stock. The only reason why I can talk about this is because I've been blessed with two families who lived this. They live this way. I'm gonna try my best. So my grandfather this past week was on the earth for 100 years, and he passed away to be with the Lord after being married to my grandma for 75 years. 75 years of serving one single woman. He had 29 children, or great-grandchildren, children. He had like 80 descendants under him. My grandpa was always old. Like, ever since I was born, he was like in his like 80s. Every memory that I can think, he was in his 80s. And he was always putting stuff together, taking care of the family, having a party at his house, doing the yard up to bring people in. In his mid-80s, he's doing this. And then that influenced my dad. So then my dad, so growing up, anything that had to be done in the church, my dad was there, like 8 a.m., Saturday morning, right? I'll never forget. We're in church, right, Sunday morning, and they're like, hey, we need volunteers to, you know, build a new ramp at one of the church buildings. And I'm just sitting there like, you know, 12 years old, there goes my Saturday. Great. 8 a.m. Saturday morning. Dad's like, get up. We got to go build a ramp. And I'm like, okay, Dad. Sounds good. You know, oh, the church needs new carpet. Oh, there goes my weekend again. Thanks, Dad. 8 a.m. Saturday morning. We're tearing carpet out of the church, putting new carpet down. He was a servant. And then I married into a family where my father-in-law can't stop serving, ever. I'll never forget, we were on vacation in Florida, staying with family. We're all sitting on the back porch. There's a nice in-ground pool. It's overlooking the lake. We're sipping lemonade. And I'm like, hey, I wonder where Charlie is. And I like look around like the side of the house. He's redoing the landscaping. He's washing the rocks that are like, you know, under the bushes and everything. I'm like, come on, man. It's serving. It's in their DNA. And when you hang around people that are good, some of it rubs off on you. And the opposite is true. So find good people and hang out with them, because sometimes some of that good stuff will rub off on you. And that's my only credibility, is that I get to hang out and spend my life with people who bless me. I'm not going to end it there. Sorry, guys. You're stuck. Servant leadership. Today I want to talk about what it is, why we need to put it into practice, and how to put it into practice. Now, to cover that first point, instead of reading a definition and telling you guys, you know, this is what the definition of servant leadership is, I think it's actually more effective to give you examples of people who live as servant leaders, because that's how I learned. I learned through my dad what it is. So instead of talking about what servant leadership is, we need to look at who servant leadership is, and then we'll understand what it is through example. And that's how it's taught, is through example, and that's how it is learned, is through example. I learned it through watching people, not reading a book. Mark 10, 42 through 45. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are in regard as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. That's the world. The Gentiles, that's business culture today. That's social media culture today. The people in authority lord it over them. And guys, guess what? They do it to prove they're in authority. They do it to show off to the people around them that they're in authority, that they can snap their fingers and people will do things for them. They abuse their authority to prove that they have it. That's not real authority. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Who's that talking about? Who's our first example of as a servant leader? It's Jesus, right? I really lobbed that one over the plate for you, but you got it right. Jesus. It's Jesus. The farthest we have to go to learn about servant leadership, the only book you need to read to learn about servant leadership is this one. And I'm all about business books and 7 Habits and How to Win Friends and Influence People, Good to Great. They're all really good books. This one's better. This one's way better. And this one has everything you need to know in it, everything that you have to read in it to become a great leader. John 13, 12 through 14. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and then resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Can you imagine sitting there and Jesus, you know, as one of the disciples, you know, they recognize this is Jesus, he's Lord. And then he gets down on one knee and starts to wash your feet. Right? Like how crazy is that? Like, take yourself out of the mindset where we've had 2,000 years of hearing people say, love your neighbor as yourself, because Jesus said it originally. Before Jesus said it, it was mind-blowing, right? Because what did they live? They lived with the Gentiles who exercised authority over them and abused their authority. And then along came the greatest authority that will ever walk the earth. He could have abused it. He could have ordered them around. And he got down on one knee and he washed their feet. How powerful of a visual is that? To be able to get down on one knee as an authority, as a leader, and to wash the feet of the people who are following you. As leaders, it's not our job to abuse authority. It's not our job to lord it over people. It's not our job to show people. It's our job to serve people, to wash their feet and wash one another's feet. I have another person I want to talk about as that is a great example of a servant leader. But first, I'm just going to show a super quick video clip, and then we'll talk about the guy. So, Paul, you want to click over? That man's name is Desmond Doss, and that's a clip from the movie Hacksaw Ridge, which I bet a lot of you guys have actually seen. Desmond Doss was a soldier during World War II. He was a Christian, and he was a nonviolent believer. He didn't believe in killing others, but he believed in serving. So when he was drafted, he refused to pick up a rifle, and he refused to kill anyone. So he became an army medic. So during our invasion of Japan during World War II, there was the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge. And basically, think of the invasion of Normandy, right? The big cliffs with the sniper's nests and the machine guns. And where Normandy was a huge success, Hacksaw Ridge was a complete failure, as from an invasion point of view. We basically got to the cliffs. We had these big nets that our soldiers climbed up, and there was just suppressing machine and sniper fire down on our men, and our soldiers just got destroyed on those cliffs. Desmond Doss, who was a nonviolent believer, he was part of that battle. And he single-handedly climbed up that cliff to save the men who were stuck under enemy fire. And in that clip, it shows him saving that man. That man's actually his drill sergeant. And that guy physically and verbally abused him because he refused to pick up a rifle and to shoot or to kill anybody. He called him a coward. He told him that he was no good, that he wasn't a patriot, that he was scared to fight. And Desmond Doss then went up and saved that man's life and 75 other men. And he risked his life to do that. He carried the men to the cliff and then hand lowered them down the side of the cliff. And his prayer was, Lord, help me get just one more. All night long until he rescued 75 men. Desmond Doss, the movie just came out. They couldn't create a movie when he was still alive because he refused to sign off the rights to the movie because he didn't want Hollywood to exaggerate what he did. That's a servant leader. That is a servant leader. And people like that are inspiring to us. Right? People who like that, they make us want to be better. You don't have to be, you know, a great orator. You don't have to have, you know, the power handshake or know how to, you know, command a room with the sound of your voice. You don't need any of that to be a great leader. All you need to know is how to serve. All you need to know is how to be humble. Desmond Doss actually went on to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. The number of men that he actually saved, the men around him said it was 100, and he said it was only 50, so they split it down the middle at 75. But most likely it was more likely 100 men that he saved. Servant leadership, it's men like that. Now let's talk about why. Why do servant leadership? Well, the most simple reason, the most straightforward reason is because the Bible tells us to. It's our calling. In Galatians 5, 13 through 14, says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's not rocket science, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Serve one another through love. That's what we're here to do. That's it. We don't need to overcomplicate life. Put others above your own. Put other people's needs above your own needs. 1 John 3:18. "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." Service is a verb. It's action. You can't say, "Hey, you know, hope you feel better. Hope that hunger thing, you know, resolves itself and you don't give them food to eat." What have you done? Nothing, right? You've done nothing. Serving is a verb. Acts 20, 35. "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" 1 Peter 4:10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's steward of varied grace." We've all been given gifts, right? Each one of us. We have something that we're good at. So if you have a talent, let's say you're really good at like singing or something like that, what does the world tell you to do with it? Who are you supposed to serve that gift with? Yourself. What do? You create your own brand, right? You get experience on your resume. You take care of you. You capitalize on your opportunities. You serve you. You don't serve others. But that's why we were given the gifts that we have, so that we can come together as the body of Christ. So that the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." We all need each other. We need to serve one another and use the gifts that we've been given to do so. So don't take your gifts that you've been given to serve yourself. They're not for you. They're for others. Now, when I was looking up, you know, scripture references for, you know, references on, you know, serving in the Bible, right? I could literally spend the next half hour just reading scripture verses on serving and loving and honoring each other and putting others ahead of ourselves, read parables about it, read stories where Christ did it, verses where he tells you to do it. It's full of it. It is full of serving one another. But guys, the beautiful thing about God's word is that when we obey it, there's inherent blessings that come, right? There's inherent blessing in following the word of God. It's just really good advice, right? And when you follow it, you live in that blessing. One of the blessings of living as a servant leader is that you learn empathy. We took a it was a leadership training course at work like a month ago. And the guy teaching the course, he asked us, like, what do you guys think the most important trait of a leader is? Right? And we said, oh, he needs to be inspiring. You know, he needs to be a hard worker. He needs to be knowledgeable, right? He needs to have all these, you know, things. And he said, no, the number one thing that a leader has to have is empathy. Empathy is the ability to come up to somebody and say, I know what you're going through, man. I've been there. Empathy is putting your arm around somebody and saying, you can get through it. I did too. I know it's hard. It was hard when I did it. It's hard when you did it. But together, we can get through it. I've been there. But you can't say you've been there if you haven't done anything. You can't say you've been there if you haven't served. You can't say that you've walked in their shoes when you've only cared about yourself and your own journey. It's impossible. But when you serve others, when you bow down, when you humble yourself, when you work with them, when you volunteer to do work, you gain empathy. So that when you're the person delegating the work, you're not delegating it out of a place of, this needs to get done, go do it. It can't be that hard, right? You know how hard it is, and you have appreciation for the people who have done it. And they know that, and they can feel that through you. And that is what is called empathy. And guys, I would argue that it's one of the things that made Christ's ministry so effective while he was on earth. Because Christ became a man, right? God made the rules. He didn't have to make it, so Christ had to come down, live as a man, and then die for our sins. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with all confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We have a Savior that can sympathize with us. That's why when we go to God, when we go to him in prayer, we know he's listening. We feel his peace. And we can have all confidence that he knows what you've gone through. He knows what it feels like to be tempted. He knows what it feels like to be sad. He knows what it feels like to lose a friend. He knows what it feels like to feel discouraged, to want to give up. He knows how all that feels. And he is the person to go to when you're in need, because he has empathy, because he lived as a man. And he has that empathy, and we all know it, and we feel it when we go to him. So as a servant leader, you gain empathy. You gain that key aspect required when leading others to be able to say, I know how it is, man. I've been there. I know how you feel. And that's what makes you feel better in your time of need. Not, well, here, let me give you a book to read, and, you know, this has some really good advice in it. Why don't you go off and read that and let me know how it all works out? Or, hey, you know, buck up, you'll be fine. You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't worry about it. That doesn't help people. Feeling a connection, that is what helps people. Another reason why we need to practice servant leadership is that you earn respect. You earn respect. One of the weakest sentences I think that anyone can say, a man can say, is, you need to respect me. You need to respect me. If you're telling somebody that they need to respect you, you did something wrong, right? That's a red flag. You shouldn't be there. Respect is earned. It's not demanded. And the only way to earn respect is to live in a way that people will respect you. It's not something that's granted. It's something that's earned. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Guess what, guys? Children, honor your parents. You know why? Because that's when you're supposed to learn it. That's not when it stops. You don't get to become an adult and stop honoring and respecting people. That's not how it works. You learn it as a child. And how do you learn it as a child? When you see your dad do it. When you see your parents do it. It doesn't say, fathers, you know, be a jerk and, you know, do whatever you want, you know, to your kids. No, it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. And what's that next sentence? Honor who? Everyone. That's to us. That's to the adults, right? We see it in the children. Children, honor your parents, because that's when you learn it, to honor your parents. You don't stop honoring people when you get old. And I'm not going to get all worked up, but I'm sick of hearing the elder generation saying, these kids have no respect anymore. These kids don't respect anything. But you've spent the last 40 years disrespecting the president, the government, the police, the authority, your wife, your husband, your children. And that's the only example that they have is disrespect. And then you get mad at them for not having any respect for anybody. It doesn't make any sense. They learn it from you. They learn it from us through our example, through how I talk to my wife. That's how Emma learns it. How I talk about my pastor, how I talk about my parents, how I talk about the president, how I talk about anything. Honor everyone. It doesn't stop when you become an adult. It doesn't stop. I didn't mean to get worked up, but I got a little worked up. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you're treated. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican and they're a Democrat. You're a Democrat and they're a Republican. They're a good president. They're a bad president. I'm getting some looks on the front row. It doesn't matter. I know you guys are joking. It doesn't matter if they're the worst president ever. Honor everyone. Honor everyone. Honor everyone. Honor authority. Honor your parents. Honor the president. Honor the police. Honor your boss. Honor your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your husband. Anyone that you come in contact with, show respect and you will earn respect in turn. That's it. It's that simple, guys. It's that simple. All right, final point on the why portion is that it gives you the opportunity to show Christ's love without needing to speak a single word. Another word for this is it's called credibility. It gives you credibility. John 15:13, greater love has no other than this, that someone may lay down his life for his friends. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. In the church, we like that second part, right? Save them. Put me up front and I'll get them all saved. Let's, you know, start a rally. We're going to save all everybody. And then it comes to serving, to seek them. Oh, wait, I actually have to serve them? Nah, I'm good. You have fun with that. Let me know when they're all, you know, in a room, ready to go, get riled up, and I'll save them. We'll march them to the gates of heaven. We'll have an altar call, and everybody's going to get saved. Guess what? You can't skip the first part to get to the second. You can't save people without first reaching out to them, without finding them, without serving them, without putting their needs ahead of your needs, without giving them respect and honor. People don't care about what you say if you don't live a Christ-centered life because they think you're a phony. They don't want to listen to your words when they can't get the fact that you've treated them disrespectfully or treated others disrespectfully in their company, because what do they think as soon as they leave? You're going to do the same thing about them, right? They need to see you living this life, and that's what gives you credibility, and that's what gives you the ability to speak into someone's life. If you eat dinner at pastor's house, he's the last one up to eat. That's just a small part. It's a small demonstration of his desire to serve others. Pastor has surrounded his life in serving others. And as a result, we have an amazing congregation. We're part of a large group of pastors in the area. We have St. Anthony starting across town because pastor is willing to serve. He's willing to serve, and he lives that lifestyle. And that's what makes him effective. Yeah, he's a good speaker, and he's really nice, and he looks good, he's sharp, right? He's all the things that a good leader should be, but no one would listen to him if he didn't live it first. And he lives it, and so do we. We need to do that. Make sense, guys? All right, so I can hear you guys saying, you're all like, I'm on board, but how do I do it? I need to know how. Just tell me how. You came to the right place. We're going to cover that. How? How do I follow in Christ's footsteps? First thing that we need to do is reject the world's wisdom. Reject it. Because it's not right. I struggled with this like a lot when I first kind of came into like the business world and, you know, in kind of like the corporate world. I was like, all the books and everything that you read, they tell you, you know, to assert your authority, you know, basically destroy somebody in front of other people so they know that you have authority. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right. I don't know. Like, I don't know why. It just doesn't make sense, right? You can read books, and I'm all about reading books, but if it doesn't line up with this book, it's no good. It's just a guy trying to make money off of print. And you're one of the suckers that bought it. That's all it is. Have to double check against this book. 1 Corinthians 3:18-21 says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours. No more boasting about human leaders. Isn't that like, think about, I always, whenever I'm in the airport, I always look at the book stand. Because I think book stands in airports have, I don't know, just really good selection of books. Every time I'm like, yeah, that looks like a good one. Every time I walk by and I look at the airport book stand, it's some human leader telling us how to do what they did. That's it. It's a guy saying, hey, I got rich. You should do this so you can get rich too. Right? That's all the book says. But right here it says they are fools. They are fools. But we take their advice as Christians and some of it's good, right? Like, some of it's good, some of it's bad. We have to fact check against the Bible. Because you can't serve both masters. You can't be one foot in and one foot out. We need to choose. And the leader that you need to choose is Christ. Is Christ in the Bible. So reject the world's wisdom. Number two, I said, put your pride in the back seat. When pride comes, or this is Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Serving people with a prideful attitude is patronizing. It's not helpful, right? When you're like, oh yeah, I'll help you, but I know I'm better than this, it's not helpful. It does more harm than good. Because they know you're just patronizing them. You're just putting on an act. You're just going through it. You can't be an effective leader if you have the idea or the mentality that you're better than everyone else. Because that shows through your actions. It shows through what you say about people, how you talk to people. And it really comes through when you're frustrated, when the pressure's on, right? When you're in the pressure cooker and you're, you know, everything's hunky-dory, I'm fine, right? And then you get a call from, you know, the CEO saying, hey, you're behind on your numbers, you need to get the numbers up, snap. And your real colors start to come out. And if you aren't truly following Christ's example by having a humble spirit in here, and you have that pride, and you're just putting on an act, it comes out. You can't hide it forever. And it destroys any credibility that you've had with those people that you work with or that you're serving. It destroys it. So put your pride in the back seat. Last, I said, stop making fruit your goal. I originally wrote this as stop managing your outputs and manage your inputs. I don't think that makes sense to very many people here. Stop making your fruit your goal. If you want respect, if you want leadership, if you want responsibility, if you want to be in charge, if you want to be up front, and that's the only thing you focus on, you'll never get to it. Because the way you get there is through hard work, through service, through humility, looking for opportunities to serve people. And it's not by bullying and just trying to get to the top, because if you get there that way, you won't be there very long. It is not a solid foundation to stand on. And the people that you didn't serve, that you cut, that you beat down, that you destroyed to get there, are just waiting for you to fall instead of holding you up. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and then 12 through 14. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's all about your mindset. It's all about being the right person, treating others above yourself. Last week, I was sitting at dinner, and at dinner, it was kind of like a surreal experience. I'm sitting there, and on one side of me is a global director of our company, and the front of me, on the other side of the table, is another global director, right? And these guys are like high up, right? Huge budgets, right? They're in charge of tons of people. And we're sitting there, we're eating dinner, and they're asking me, like, my thoughts, my advice on things, right? They're asking me, and they want to listen to me. And they're saying, like, you know, what do you think about this? Oh, yeah, that's really good. What do you, you know, go on. And, like, during that experience, I'm like, this is, like, so weird. Like, how did I get here? Right? Like, how did I end up in England sitting next to, like, these guys who are, like, so much higher than me, and they want to hear what I have to say? I'm like, this makes no sense. And the way I got there, I did what my boss told me to. That's it. I served my boss. I served the guys that I work with. I just put my head down to do work for them. And they pushed me up to that level. And after that dinner, so that dinner got done, right? And I was talking to one of the guys that I work with, and he's like, oh, he was just asking you for your advice because he wants you to do all of his work for him. He that's all he cares about. Just, he wants to shove all of his work down on you, so you have to do it. You know, you shouldn't do anything for him unless he gives you, like, a promotion and a raise, you know. Really power move that guy. And I'm like, okay, thank God I know that, you know, the wisdom of man is foolishness, right? What do I say? Thank God he wants me to do his work for him. That's awesome. I get a chance to serve him. And I know that in service, I will be brought up. But I get to serve another master because I was faithful serving my current master at my current location, at my current job. And that's how it works, is that you, through service, through obedience, through being a slave to others, God honors you. God blesses you. He who waters others will himself be watered. Lastly, guys, servant leadership, how to do it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Back to one of the first verses that I read, Matthew 20:27. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. What does a slave not get to do? Does he get to put in his 2 weeks notice, right? You can't quit when you're a slave. You don't get to walk away from your job when you're a slave. And that's the amount of dedication that Christ requires from us to others, because that's the amount of dedication he gave to us. He could have walked away. He could have said, no, this isn't for me. But he died. He died on the cross for us. He died on the cross for you and me. And that's what we're called to do for him and for the people around us, is to be a slave. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. If you do not give up. I know it's tough. I know life can get hard. I know that the nights are long, that the road is difficult. But we can't give up, guys. We can't give up. And if we work with each other and we build each other up and we use our gifts to bless one another instead of just serving ourselves, it makes giving up a little bit more difficult. It makes going on easier. So look for opportunities to serve. Look for opportunities to bless other people. Reach out to others that you wouldn't normally reach out to. Put your pride in the back seat. Humble yourselves and allow God to deliver you into a place of leadership where you're able to continue to serve more people more effectively. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for who you are and the blessings that you bring into our lives, God. I pray now for anyone who's going through a hard time, God, who's struggling. I pray that you'll bring someone up next to them to serve alongside of them, to put their arm around them, to say, I know it's hard. I've been there. But we can get through it together. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the blessing and for the sacrifice that you made for our salvation and the example that you left behind for us to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. So wonderful. So before you leave tonight, Stacy, come on up. Stand down front here with your husband. If you need prayer for anything before you go tonight, if you need just help not quitting, you need help with this mindset of servant leadership. It's hard for some people to do that. People, we live in a culture that demands that, you know, you're going to get what you have coming to you, and don't you disrespect me. I loved how you made that so right tonight. When you're living for God and you're honoring him and you're a servant, the Greek word for that is doulos, you can't quit, you can't give up, and people, they can't disrespect you because you're serving them. You love them. It's servant, giving, loving, caring. So good, Dan. I'm just so impressed tonight. Lord, I just want to say thank you for sending your servant and the word of the living God to him and through him tonight. I pray that each one, every one of us, will go to another level. Not, God, help us not just to leave here tonight and say that was good and not engage in something that you have sown into our lives. I pray that tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, each one of us will step to another level in looking and just discovering how and where we can serve others in love. I thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. If you want prayer, or if you just want to tell Dan that was awesome, just come on down before you leave. I love you going his grace, going God's mercy tonight.